Critics say the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is dropping the ball on environmental enforcement, while the DNR leadership says it's working to help businesses comply with regulations rather than going to court all the time. There are Democratic state lawmakers and others who are especially concerned over how a top DNR appointee handled a case involving an Oconomowoc sewage company and its illegal spreading of human waste near drinking water wells. We will talk about whether politics is hampering DNR enforcement, or whether a kinder, gentler DNR is good for business and the environment during this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, May 10th. We will talk with a political scientist who is also an expert in environmental policy, and we'll welcome your questions and your concerns and your views about the last couple of years when it comes to DNR enforcement of environmental regulations. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Michael Kraft, Emeritus Professor of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at UW Green Bay. He is the author of Environmental Policy and Politics and co-editor and co-author of Environmental Policy, New Directions for the 21st Century. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
And a new edition of Environmental Policy is due out this week, I see.
That's right, tomorrow.
All right, there we go. So how do you read this, Professor Kraft, especially this most recent story that broke this week about how the DNR handled this Oconomowoc sewage company and its violation of spreading too much human waste near drinking water wells?
Yeah, well, we can talk about the particular case, but I think I would start by saying more broadly, when we have environmental policies, obviously they have to be implemented, and part of that is the enforcement mechanisms that any agency, in this case the Wisconsin DNR, uses. Most of these policies that we have are intended to deter businesses from committing violations, so a business has a permit, and we like to think they follow the permit. So the particular case here is that the waste hauler spread much more human waste than was allowable by the permit, and then the question is, what does the department do in reaction? Many Democrats and environmentalists say they should be very aggressive in enforcement and should use harsh penalties to deal with the violator. And I think what we're seeing here is that a business-friendly administration, and one that is not a strong believer in regulation, says we have, as you put it, a kinder, gentler way. The Bush administration did the same thing at the national level. And they say, look, we're going to back off a little bit. We're going to work with the violator. We're going to hope that we can resolve it in that way. And so I think what you have are two very different kinds of reactions. Republicans and the business community might say this is exactly the way we ought to enforce environmental laws. Work with the individual company. Get them to change their behavior. Don't just refer to the Justice Department. On the other hand, we have a reaction, and the Wisconsin Journal Sentinel this morning has an editorial opinion piece by former DNR secretaries who criticize this case and the broader pattern, in their words, as unprecedented, outrageous, and indefensible. So we have two very different reactions.
Yeah. Well, and I do want to talk about the broader issues as well, but zeroing in on this specific case with the waste hauler, DNR enforcement staff said, we need to refer this case to the Department of Justice. This company needs to be punished for what it did. And then the leadership at the DNR and a top DNR appointee, a former lawmaker, in fact, who had apparently accepted a campaign donation from the company in question, handled it differently.
Yes, that's correct. We're talking about Scott Gunderson, who's a former representative in Congress and is executive assistant to the DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp. And he made the call that you can say did not follow the staff's recommendation, and he preferred to go a little softer on the company. That's what the controversy is about. should political appointees, particularly when they have received campaign contributions, be making a call like this that flies in the face of a staff recommendation? And as I was trying to say, I think there are two different reactions. Those who are friendly to the Walker administration would say this is exactly the way matters like this should be handled. And obviously those who look at this case say, what's going on? The DNR staff has worked with this. The company is a repeat violator. There should have been harsher action taken. This should have been referred to the Justice Department. And you know, what we know about the case is largely what has been is published. Mm-hmm. There is always a question of how much do we not know. What happened is the company was fined a fairly modest amount, about $4,000. I'm looking at the report in the State Journal that says this was the minimum amount for the permit violations, even though the lead DNR investigator said this was among the worst cases he'd ever seen. So it begins certainly to suggest that if this, whether this case is typical or not, we don't know. We can talk about the broader pattern, and there is a broader pattern of violation notices being sharply down.
Talk about that broader pattern.
Yeah, yeah. But for this particular case, you know, based on what I've seen in the press, it looks unusual because you have a staff, even the staff that is sadly depleted at the DNR because many people have retired. I think we all know why in the last year or so why that's happened. So the DNR currently finds itself understaffed and I imagine underfunded, and that may play a role as well. So the Ganusha may have said, the staff recommendation is not persuasive to me, and I'm going to make a choice. And this is a reminder, by the way, that political appointees and departments make the final call when a judgment like this is called for. It's not the staff that makes the decision. So we do have a system where a governor appoints the top people in an agency, and they're the ones who make these kinds of calls.
And to be fair, Scott Gunderson said he did not recall receiving a campaign donation from this company, Her Environmental, and now the DNR is saying that there will be more scrutiny when it comes to campaign donations
and
enforcement.
Yes, and certainly there ought to be. I think whichever position one takes on the governor and then this unusual recall year, I think it's fair to say that people ought to be open and transparent in their decisions, and if campaign contributions are involved, we talk about people recusing themselves from the decision so as not to raise a conflict of interest argument.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that broader pattern of enforcement actions being down. Does it seem dramatic to you how many...
It seems dramatic, yes, because I'm looking at a graph that shows this is, we're talking about the number of violation notices issued by the DNR since the year 2000, and it looks like we have dropped about 50% in the Walker administration. That's similar to what I've seen at the national level as we move from the Clinton administration to the Bush administration, and that is why I say I think what you're seeing is a different philosophy in environmental policy enforcement. But it is striking. It's striking that you would see such a decrease in violation notices. And my concern, frankly, is not just the numbers. It would be the message that it sends to businesses that have environmental permits. Because, as I tried to say a minute ago, the environmental policy is based on a theory of deterrence. You set out some standards, you issue permits, and you hope that everybody will comply because there is a price to be paid for noncompliance. But if you stop issuing notices and stop enforcing the law and have very modest penalties for violating the law, you're sending a message that companies could get away with violating the law. I don't think that's what you want to do.
We are talking with Michael Kraft. He's an emeritus professor of political science and public and environmental affairs at UW Green Bay. And we wonder what you think. Do you think that DNR regulations have hurt business in Wisconsin, and you're glad to see this new philosophy with the DNR working with businesses to get them to comply with environmental regulations rather than going to court or fining them? Or do you think the DNR is dropping the ball on enforcing environmental laws? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be sunny and mild with highs in the 60s and low 70s today, clear with lows in the 40s and 50s tonight. Turning cloudy with a chance of rain tomorrow in northern and western Wisconsin. It'll be mostly sunny in the south and east tomorrow. Highs tomorrow 65 to 75 degrees. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up on 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, May 10th. Coming up in our next hour, we will talk about the influence of the Tea Party and talk about polarization in Congress as we examine Richard Lugar losing a Republican Senate primary this week. That's coming up after 7. Then after 7:30, we plan to talk with our guest about President Obama coming out in favor of gay marriage. That's coming up after 7:30. Right now, we are talking about whether Wisconsin's DNR and the DNR secretary and the agency under Governor Walker is on the right track or the wrong track when it comes to environmental protection. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Michael Kraft, who is an emeritus professor of political science and public and environmental affairs at UW Green Bay. Gary on Facebook writes, Kathy Stepp, that's the DNR secretary, is committed to reversing the image of the DNR as being an out-of-control eco-stormtroopers while maintaining effective enforcement of environmental laws. If any enforcement officer has been specifically instructed to not enforce those laws, then they should come forward with this information. Then we'd have a real issue to debate. So far, STEP has been the one positive achievement of the Walker administration. You want to react to that, Professor Kraft?
Well, obviously, people are divided on that point. The governor appointed a pro-business administrator of the DNR and a secretary of the DNR. And I believe she is acting in accordance with the governor's position. And there are certainly those who think that environmental regulations can be draconian, they can be job killers, and the governor indicated that the state is open to business, and I think you're beginning to see some of those results. And people will react differently. Some will say that exactly so. This is the way to help the business community by relieving the burden of excessive environmental enforcement. And others will say this is catering to polluters who have unfairly, taking advantage of the situation. I think there's another aspect here too that Gary didn't mention, and some listeners might want to know, and that is that the DNR enforcement office is really severely understaffed at the moment. Again, looking at the state newspaper report on this, saying that 7 enforcement positions currently are vacant out of a full-time enforcement staff of 20. That is, one-third of the positions have not been filled because of retirements and the time it takes to do that. And that might make a difference as well in how quickly the DNR can investigate cases and compile its recommendation to the secretary.
So do we have reason to believe that once these positions are filled, that enforcement actions will go up to, you know,
well,
previous levels?
I doubt that would happen, but at least I think there'd be more thorough investigation of the cases if you have a full enforcement staff, whereas now there may be insufficient staff to actually carefully evaluate each case. But I think what you are seeing, and Gary is applauding, is a different philosophy at the highest levels of the DNR, which is not a surprise. It's a philosophy that says we ought to step more carefully in enforcing the laws. We ought to not unduly burden the businesses that are making a good faith effort. We're going to work with industry rather than, you know, march to court. And that's a philosophy we see from time to time, particularly in Republican administrations.
Our next caller is Tony in Madison. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you guys? Not to mess things up here at all, but the way it was presented in the paper, you had a waste dump with some of the records were changed, the way of finding out exactly how much was dumped was changed. This is just wrong. This is wrong as wrong. There's no other way to parse this one out. You can't possibly spin this as a different way to do business. This was something done in a poor manner, and it was helped by not being followed up on correctly. And it's wrong. It's wrong. There's no other way to look at it. There's no other way to spin it. If you're hungry and the apple's hanging on your neighbor's side of the fence, you're climbing the fence and going after it. That's what greed is. People went after that.
Well, let me present, Tony, and I know we're getting into real specifics, but I know the DNR secretary has said the company was cited for with 5 citations, and it was handled in circuit court rather than the Department of Justice. Yet the fine was not as much as it might have been had it gone to the Department of Justice. But it, should this company violate again, it could lose its permit altogether, Michael Kraft. They're saying they weren't exactly super easy on this company.
Right. Again, there's a difference of opinion. Yeah. Obviously, they went more easily on the company than could have been the case. I think the test will be, will the company, you know, fly straight now? Well, if there's another violation, and I think people will be watching very carefully, then I think, as Tony says, if this is a clear-cut case, then this should be the last time this happens, not part of a pattern. But remember, this is only one case out of hundreds that the DNR examines, and we're talking about both this case, but the broader pattern and what that tells us about a difference of philosophy in the way environmental law is enforced. And I'm a little more concerned, I guess, about the larger pattern, which is, are we sending a signal to industry that the DNR is going to look the other way, that industry won't be held accountable for its permits? And I'm troubled by, for example, the same newspaper accounts indicate that the federal EPA has sent the DNR a memo detailing apparent omissions and deviations from federal law in the way it's handling the Clean Water Act. I began to be concerned then that Wisconsin, which has authorization from the federal government to handle the Clean Water Act and other environmental laws, is not living up to the expectations of the federal EPA. And that's a serious matter if that's true.
So does it seem as though some sort of investigation into how this case was handled is called for? The Democratic state lawmakers, about a dozen of them, held a news conference yesterday saying they want a legislative investigation along with hearings open to the public to find out how the DNR handled this case.
I think given the visibility of the case and the concerns that it raises, a fair inquiry is called for, a legislative hearing, an independent counsel of some sort to investigate the case, as well as the broader pattern, I think would help convince all of us who are citizens that the DNR is doing its job.
Mike in Allenton is with us now. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I find this almost laughable. This particular case is being held up as the poster child for what's going on in the state. Yet under Governor Doyle, and under the current mayor of Milwaukee, Barrett, Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District has been dumping billions of gallons of human waste into Lake Michigan, and nobody seems to say a word about it. We never have any conversation about it. You never hear anybody condemning the Democrats for allowing this to go on for the last 10 years.
Is it the same thing, Michael Kraft? Is that the same thing?
As I understand it, the situation in Milwaukee occurs when we have excess of stormwater, and you have the sewage and stormwater combined, and you get an overflow into Lake Michigan. And this has gone on for some time, and I believe Milwaukee has been trying to address it, but is dealing to some extent with an antiquated system. So we're not talking about a business violating its environmental permit. We're talking about a city that has a long-term problem that it's been trying to resolve. But, yeah, I think what Mike is referring to is that Democrats will respond by condemning a Republican administration for not enforcing the law in this case, but tend not to talk so much about violations in cities like Milwaukee with a Democratic mayor.
Yeah.
So it becomes a partisan issue.
Mike, did you have a follow-up?
Well, you know, I disagree with your guess. I think it is the same issue. I mean, we're talking about environmental law. Is it any less obnoxious that a city is dumping human waste into our drinking water supply versus a private company who's dumping waste too close to a water supply? You know, one is a direct violation, and, you know, has significant impact on everybody that's using that resource. And yet we're saying, well, you know, that's a city. It only happens once in a while. They've dumped more human waste into Lake Michigan than BP dumped oil into the Gulf. And yet, again, we hear nothing about it. There's no conversation. There's no plan to really correct that situation.
All right, and so the DNR handled this case with this Oconomowoc company properly, Mike.
Well, I think it's a case of we're using this as political fodder when really, you know, if you want to have serious discussion and, you know, if we want to have hearings about what's going on with the environmental law in the state, I think you have to bring this up. And that has to really be the number one priority, because this little particular business, and I'm not trying to defend what they're doing,
well,
but I think it shows the, you know, how we are politicizing it. You have this one little business who's dumping, you know, X number of gallons, and yet Milwaukee will have one flush and flood the lake, and again,
yeah, I know, and that's not the specific topic, but I appreciate you bringing up that situation. It's been talked about in the past, but this is the issue of the day. Let's quickly get Chris and Madison on. Hi, Chris.
Hi, great program. I just want to point out a little bit of hypocrisy, in my opinion, here. Liberal intelligentsia seems to focus on getting together, getting along. You see these coexist bumper stickers on people's cars, but when a governmental administration that leans conservative tries to coexist with the business community, then all of a sudden there's evil raining down from the sky and everything. And I just find that, you know what, the DNR has been heavy-handed for way too long. I don't know about the business community personally, but as a hunter, they have been heavy-handed on hunting and fishing regulations for way too long, and it is time for a change where the people who are using the environment actually are the ones in control, and we need to put the DNR secretary appointment back to the Conservation Congress.
All right. Thanks very much for that. We'll get Michael Kraft to respond to that thought after we check news. Michael Kraft is our guest, Emeritus Professor of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at UW-Green Bay. If you'd like to join in, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. Critics say Wisconsin's DNR is dropping the ball on environmental enforcement, while DNR leadership says it's working to fix problems without going to court. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:36 on this Thursday, May 10th. We are talking with Michael Kraft, Emeritus Professor of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at UW-Green Bay, about this concern, and we're wondering if you think the DNR secretary and the agency under Governor Walker is on the right track or the wrong track when it comes to environmental protection. Is the DNR too lax when it comes to enforcement of environmental regulations, or is cooperating with businesses to get them to comply and to understand the better way to go? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We had a caller just before news time, Professor Kraft, who said he couldn't really speak for the business community, but as a hunter, he thought that the DNR was too heavy-handed and was happy to see a more, you know, the kinder, gentler DNR when it came to certainly the wildlife issues. And he ended with saying that the Conservation Congress should be able to name the DNR secretary. Talk some about who names the DNR secretary and how that issue has changed.
Well, it has changed over time, and currently the governor names the secretary of the DNR as the governor names other high-level administrative positions. Some would like to remove the DNR secretary from the governor's appointees and have somebody else do it, whether it's a separate board or committee. In this case, we're talking about the Conservation Congress. And people do differ on whether independent agencies of government are better or worse. Personally, I think there's nothing wrong with having political appointees with the federal government. Every cabinet level and roughly the top dozen people, for example, on the federal EPA are presidential appointees, and every administration has its preferences. And I think this is, on the whole, a good thing, as long as it as politicians are held accountable for their appointments. Removing the secretary entirely from the political process is no guarantee that the DNR will work more effectively. I guess here again, people differ on their assessment of that. Many environmentalists would also like it removed from the the governor's appointment. Now, I do think that the previous caller, Chris, this is what I was trying to indicate earlier. I think he argues that a new philosophy of enforcement would be a good thing for the DNR because it's been too heavy-handed on business. And I guess ultimately we'll see whether this results in better environmental conditions at a lower cost to business. At the moment, the particular case we've been talking about and the broader pattern certainly worries many people that the DNR has gone soft on business, but some would say it's about time they went soft on business and adopted a more cooperative position. And I'm not sure that the two sides are ever going to reach agreement on that.
Yeah, we heard in our state newscast just before coming back about heavy rains that the state experienced recently, and a half a dozen or more municipal sewage treatment plants overflowing and flooding and having sewage go into waterways. It's similar to a situation that a caller brought up in our last half hour, saying, you know, Milwaukee does this all the time into Lake Michigan, and why aren't we upset about that? I guess I don't understand. I'm assuming that these sewage overflows are, you know, in an emergency situation and because of the rain.
Yes, correct. That's not an intention. That's the distinction I was trying to make. Milwaukee doesn't say, why don't we pollute Lake Michigan today, or why don't we ignore the law? It's really beyond their control because they have a system that cannot handle 3 to 4 inches of rain. And so this is common. And again, it's not a public health threat because the drinking water we take from Lake Michigan is, of course, purified through treatment plants before it ever gets into our homes and businesses. It would be better if we didn't allow raw sewage to enter rivers and lakes, but sometimes it's just, when you have a heavy rain, there's no way we can handle that and prevent these sewage overflows. We'd like to see them minimized, and what we're seeing throughout the state is an effort to deal with stormwater. This is why we see stormwater retention ponds. This is why we see, you know, some efforts to deal with the situation. But, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 inches of rain is going to do what it's going to do. There's not much that we can do to prevent it, except to, over time, to upgrade our sewage system so they can handle the flow and have stormwater systems that are up to the task, and we're doing that throughout the state.
And again, what was alleged, or what this Oconomowoc company was fined for, was dumping illegal amounts of human waste and violating its permit on how much could be dumped, and changing its records, and all sorts of other things were going on. So it was
in that particular case, again, according to the State Journal, there were about 30 residences in a rural Jefferson County subdivision and 5 neighboring farms, and about 40 drinking water wells are nearby. So there's an immediate concern. And this is people drawing their drinking water from a well where there's no further treatment the way a municipality, you know, would. So it's particularly important that waste haulers not exceed what is allowable on the land. In other words, the land can absorb so much human waste that's put down as fertilizer. Beyond that, you risk contaminating the wells, and people might not even know that they are contaminated. That's, to me, a quite different situation from occasional municipal overflows into rivers and lakes, because that does not immediately and directly affect the drinking water quality.
Edward in Madison is with us now. Hi, Edward.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to frame this question differently. I've not heard anyone discuss the basic question of when and why spreading human waste in any quantity is a permittable activity. I'm an architect and an environmental advocate, and I participated in the first Earth Day, and the original point was we were going to actually eliminate pollution, and it's become, instead, a licensed racket. And the DNR, like the EPA, basically handles the franchise of who gets to pollute, how much, and who gets to make money from it. And so I'm not hearing any discussion here about the underlying idea that we've let go of the goal of actually making our planet safe for all of us and our planet safe for itself.
Well, all right. I appreciate that, Edward. Any comment on that, Professor Kraft?
Yeah, the waste hauler we're talking about is a company that removes human waste from septic tanks, and then the I guess we could say the acceptable practice for years has been this is spread in limited quantities on farm fields as a fertilizer. Of course, the you know, more or less the same thing happens with animal waste. We're a dairy state, and there's plenty of cow waste that is spread in the same way. The rules the DNR develops, that is the permit system that we have, is intended to limit the amount of waste, the time of year at which it can be spread, all of which is intended to protect the quality of drinking water. So I'm assuming that the DNR permit to this waste hauler specified what the DNR believed was acceptable amount so it would not pose a threat of contamination. And what the waste hauler did was to spread three times the amount, and then apparently to disguise the fact that it did so. So that's the case we're talking about. But more broadly, I think human waste or animal waste spread on the land is not necessarily a dangerous practice, and I'm not sure there's any way of really getting around it because there's an enormous quantity of animal waste that we have to deal with.
Next, we go to Jim in Waukesha. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'd like to just say a couple things. Number one, with the hair case, in addition to the overspreading of the septage, there were record falsifications, and the DNR inspector went back three times to try to clarify the amount of waste that hair spread, and basically there seemed to be a lack of cooperation by the by hair in providing this information to the DNR. Now, you have to remember the DNR operates under the system that people need to be honest in their reporting, and when people falsify records, that's a pretty serious offense, even though some people may think that's a minor thing. But the department is dependent upon people who are permitted and who operate in these kinds of businesses to be honest. And when somebody's not honest, that really skews the system, and then you have problems like this existing or happening. I'd just like to say one thing about the sewage district, too. Sewage district had been referred to the Department of Justice twice in the last 12 years, and the results of those referrals, which HARE probably should have been referred to the Department of Justice, MMSD was, and the result of those two referrals to the Department of Justice amounted to about $1 billion worth of improvements to their system. They went from having 50 to 60 combined sewer overflows in the early 1990s to an average of about two and a half now. So there's been a significant improvement. One last thing is your speaker talked about stormwater treatment. In Milwaukee, that combined sewer area, the stormwater that gets collected by the combined sewers goes to the wastewater treatment plants, gets run through the treatment plant, and is discharged. About 98.5% of all stormwater that falls in that 24 square mile area in the city of Milwaukee gets treated. Unlike most every city in our state, where that stormwater goes out into to the surface waters, and stormwater pollution is probably one of our biggest surface water issues to be handling in the next probably 10 to 15 years.
All right. Thanks very much, Jim, for the update on that and the clarification on what happened with Milwaukee's sewerage district. Was referred to DOJ, but HARE was not, Michael Kraft.
Yes, of course, that's the concern in this case. The decision was made not to refer it to the Department of Justice, and this is a change in emphasis from previous years. As Jim indicated, Milwaukee was and spent over $1 billion improving the system and is also treating stormwater, which is unusual. In this case, we have HER Environmental that, again, the details of the case, I only know what's available in the press, but apparently falsified records. There's been a lack of cooperation. This is what's called a repeat offender. And so it's a little unusual in this case that there would not have been a referral. And a referral, by the way, doesn't necessarily mean the company is going to be faced with draconian fines. It means you let the Department of Justice handle the case and work out whatever is appropriate. And if a company like this is not honest with the DNR, there's all the more reason to say we've tried to work cooperatively with the company and the company is not cooperating or is falsifying its records. This becomes even more imperative to take that particular route of enforcement to go to the Department of Justice.
We are talking with Michael Kraft. He is an emeritus professor from UW-Green Bay. We're talking about this specific case of this Oconomowoc sewage company and wondering whether it got off too easily for possibly contaminating drinking water wells by illegally dumping too much human waste nearby, and the broader picture as to whether or not the DNR under Governor Walker's administration is being too lax on environmental enforcement. Or maybe you think it's on the right track when it comes to environmental protection. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a sunny, mild day today with highs in the 60s and low 70s. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May 10th, coming up after 7, we will talk about polarization and the influence of the Tea Party movement, coming up after 7. Then after 8 o'clock, we will talk about the future of gay marriage, now that President Obama has come out in favor of gay marriage. That's after 7:30. Right now we are talking about the DNR and the shift in philosophy at the DNR. The DNR is writing fewer tickets. Environmental enforcement activity by the DNR dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. And there is a specific case in the news this week that has a lot of people concerned that perhaps an Oconomowoc waste hauler was given special treatment because of a political influence. So what do you think? What questions do you have for Michael Kraft, Emeritus Professor of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at UW-Green Bay? Before we go back to the phones, I'm wondering, Professor Kraft, how big of a political issue you think this is going to be with the recall election underway before the gubernatorial primary? One of the candidates, former Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk, was calling on DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp to step down, saying that she wasn't doing a proper job in enforcing these environmental regulations. Do we care about this as voters?
Well, I think people clearly care about the environment, care about enforcement and the way the DNR operates, but I'd have to say in a normal election year, environmental policies and enforcement are not among the most visible or discussed issues. Obviously, the state of the economy, job creation, taxation, and many, many other issues. Healthcare will be important, both for the state elections, the recall elections, and the regular elections for the state legislature, but also if this is a presidential election year. Normally, environmental issues are not the subject of this level of attention. So this is unusual that Kathleen Falk raised this as an issue during her campaign for the Democratic nomination to challenge Governor Walker. And frankly, I hope these kinds of, whichever side one is on, I hope this becomes more visible. And that's why I said I think the DNR secretary rightfully should be a political appointee. But what goes along with that is you have to have scrutiny by the press and by the public. And candidates for office ought to talk about their philosophy of enforcement. And we can air the kind of issues that callers are highlighting, which is this the right way to do business? Is this the right way to enforce environmental laws, or should we be tougher on business or at least more consistent in the way violators are handled?
Mike in Madison is with us now. Hello, Mike.
Yes, good morning. Very frustrating. I mean, listening to this topic, it's kind of close to home. My brother and sister-in-law live in the Oconomowoc subdivision that's kind of affected or will be affected by this dumping. And would call, the people in that subdivision called repeatedly to report this dumping going on. The stench down at my brother's place when we try to be outside or have a cookout or whatever was incredible. And the waste was literally floating on top of the ground. It was so bad. And he would be back there pumping on top of this floating sewage. And nobody, not one person, could they ever get to come out. They call the sheriff's department, and of course, I understand it's not a sheriff's department or a police department issue, but the DNR would never come out there and look at it. They'd show up there days later, and within days of them coming after everything was dried into the ground, he'd be right back there again, dumping again. And nobody would do anything about it. So when they said it was enforcement action, the enforcement is a joke. And I don't know if it's because of his political ties to this particular business, but they could not. My brother and sister-in-law are so frustrated, and the stench has gotten so bad. And it's only been recently, when all this stuff has come into the news, I mean very recently, that he has stopped. Otherwise, up until a week before that newspaper article went in the paper, he was still dumping out there.
That doesn't sound pleasant to Professor Kraft.
No, it doesn't. And it's a little surprising if if citizens in a neighborhood that is affected so directly by this kind of action can't get the DNR to send out an inspection team. And maybe, as I said earlier, maybe this is a function of the DNR being understaffed. But I would think repeated calls to the DNR that says there's a crisis situation, and with the sheriff involved, that somebody at the DNR would have taken notice and addressed it immediately, particularly because the company in this case is a repeat offender. So I hope that's not an indication that the DNR has decided in some cases just to ignore the consequences of this kind of business behavior. And,
yeah.
And Mike is certainly indicating that's the case. And I don't think anybody, even those who defend the business community and want a kinder, friendlier DNR, would endorse this kind of behavior.
Right. I guess it should be noted, though, that eventually staff at the DNR, the enforcement staff, did investigate enough to determine that they believed these permits had been falsified and said that this needed to be referred over to DOJ. So there was the advice of the DNR enforcement staff to prosecute this in DOJ, but it was the higher ups, the leadership at the DOJ, that decided to do things differently.
Yes, and what we don't know, and I think what Mike's indicating, is why did it take so long? He referred to enforcement being a joke, and it really shouldn't be a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be a joke with any company that violates the law. And if citizens are calling up saying, you need to come out here and see what's going on, and if nobody responds, that's a serious failure on the part of any administrative office not to look at what's happening and then to take it through the normal administrative process.
Yeah. Mike, thank you for the call and giving us your first-person account there. Tom in Sun Prairie is with us. Hello, Tom.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to point out cause and effect, and I guess as a professor I'm a little amiss as why you suddenly point to a decrease in citations as being a cause to lax administration, in that there are other causes too. Perhaps the downturn in the economy,
yeah.
Perhaps that the manufacturers and agricultural community and the rest of the state are complying with the law.
Tom, thanks very much, because we're almost out of time, but I do want to clarify that it's DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp said there is a change in philosophy, and she wasn't going to apologize for the drop in citations.
That doesn't mean that the cause of that is to the cause in decreasing
citations. No, you're making, you're making a good point, but she also said that she wants to work with these businesses to get them into compliance rather than immediately, you know, fine them. But there are other reasons why those citations may be down, Professor Kraft?
Well, certainly, and you know, Tom makes a good point. If companies, because of the recession, are doing less business, and working to make sure they don't violate the law, that there could be many explanations for a downturn in actions by the DNR. But as you said, we have a statement by the DNR secretary that says this is not an accident. We are purposely trying to do things in another way, and it's a quite noticeable drop off of about 50 percent. So to me, that represents not so much a change in the practices of the business or the state of the economy, but a conscious administrative philosophy. Again, like it or not, this is an effort to see whether doing environmental enforcement in another way will result in a better situation for businesses and for the state. And it's very hard to know that in the short term. Obviously, we've been talking about this one case where it does not seem to have worked very well, but there are hundreds of other cases, and we just can't tell from what we know at present whether companies will correct their environmental practices to the extent that we can look back a few years from now and say this was the right thing to do. Obviously, today it raises a lot of suspicion.
Well, we will keep following the issue. Thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Michael Kraft, Emeritus Professor of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at UW-Green Bay. Thanks to Rob Ferret, to Bill Martins, and to Amanda Magnus for producing the program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.